the next item if you don't have any other comments, and I will give the floor to Scott Evans to report on the due process oversight committee.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The major item from the due process committee for today is to recommend that the trustees approve the due process handbook, the feedback statement, and the due process protocol for publication. Our committee has met three times since our last gathering in Brussels in order to bring the documents to final form by this meeting. And I need to thank my predecessor, David Sidwell, who worked after the Brussels meeting right up until December 31st, getting us in shape to be able to make this recommendation to you today. His efforts were extraordinary, as have been the efforts of Technical Director Alan Teixeira and Director of Trustees Activities David Loeth, without whom whose help we wouldn't be here either. The due process handbook and its final form can be found in Agenda 3A1, and you all have had a chance to review it, but I'll just highlight the major elements here and changes. As you know, the new version of the handbook clarifies and formalizes the role of the Due Process Oversight Committee to assure transparency, full consultation, and accountability throughout the standard-setting process. It also integrates the due process of the IASB with that of the Interpretations Committee to better clarify roles and streamline operations. And as you could hear from Alan's report, that's already happening. And we're already seeing benefits from that process. It formalizes the process for dealing with due process breaches. This is something that was of concern to people, and we didn't have it in formal form, and it's there in the handbook. We also have codified a number of existing practices so that we can publicly demonstrate consistency with best practices in standard setting. Some examples of this include the broadened focus of the triennial public review on the work program on strategic direction rather than on individual projects. The practice of embedding in effect analysis into multiple stages of standards development. We spent some time distinguishing the process for major projects from those of narrow scope amendments, again, that Alan referred to earlier. We've introduced post-implementation reviews as a formal part of the standard setting process, and as was mentioned, we'll be reviewing the first one of those on IFRS 8 shortly. We are in the process of restructuring research activities to allow for discussion papers to be introduced earlier in the process in order to better inform the standard setting inform the setting of project priorities. Finally, the comment period has been extended for rejection of requests for interpretations from 30 to 60 days. And we put these changes out for a comment. The comments themselves have been summarized, and the feedback statement is there for your review in 3A2, where we responded to 51 comment letters that were received during the comment period. There was one major item that was brought to our attention that we changed from the original draft, and that was to expand the minimum comment period for re-exposure drafts to 90 days versus the 60 days that we proposed. There were a number of suggestions that we did not take, but we considered carefully. One was that we make the DPOC meetings themselves public events. Now, I have to tell you, we wrestled over this one because we're big believers in transparency, but we are also big believers in candid interaction. And I can assure you our meetings are very candid. Paul Cherry, who observed our meetings the other day, can attest to that. I believe they'll even get more so as we begin to work this due process. So rather than sacrifice that candor, we decided that we would extend and expand the documentation of the conversations that we had. And we hope that that will be satisfactory, but we will remain open to feedback on that. The second thing was a suggestion that we incorporate the objectives for the DPOC as outlined in the due process handbook word for word into the Constitution. We didn't think that was a good idea. The Constitution sets out due process objectives that are fairly high level. And as we thought about it, the formality of reviewing the Constitution every 5 years didn't allow us the flexibility to allow the due process to evolve. And we'd like it to evolve and like to be able to change it more frequently. And so we decided not to accept that. There was a suggestion that we institute a time limit on due process complaints. And as much as we all might like to do that bureaucratically, we consider that to be impractical. There was a suggestion that post-implementation reviews be conducted independently from the ISB. Some of the other major standard setters in the world, most notably the U.S., have this practice, and we were asked to consider it. We actually think this would harm the effectiveness of the process by distancing the ISB from the feedback itself. Our committee is confident that the transparency of the performance process, the post-implementation review process, will protect it from its integrity. We plan to follow it step by step. The ISB is there. They're listening to the feedback. And that whole loop, we think, will result in a much more productive feedback mechanism. Feedback represented or resulted in a number of clarifications being added to the final draft of the due process handbook, and I'll just mention them briefly. We clarify the independent role of the trustee staff, most notably David Loeth. He is independent from the rest of the staff and asked to behave as such and does a very good job at that. We clarify the use of the due process protocol as a management tool rather than a formal and overly bureaucratic instrument of the DPOC. There's a lot of concern for that, even within the DPOC. We promise not to use it that way. We included some assurances that breaches will not immediately invalidate standards that are already incorporated, and that the interpretation rejection notices will not impose additional mandatory requirements, since they are in fact not IFRSs. That's pretty much a review of the three documents, and I would ask that the trustees approve these documents for publication.
Do members have any comments or questions on the reports of the DPOC chair? I think this has been a huge work. And I would compliment the committee for the work done. We now have tools that are extremely sophisticated. Sometimes we take the risk to be too sophisticated, but I know that Scott is looking at this very carefully, not to make it too bureaucratic. At the same time, I have the feeling that we have really achieved a remarkable piece of work. We had a chat yesterday on another occasion with Hans, and I would reiterate what he said. I think having participated in many organizations, including international organizations, I do believe that this organization has probably the most sophisticated oversight system we can imagine. And while there were technical debates in the past on very tricky issues, sometimes the process could be a matter for discussion and criticism. And I think that today I don't see how we could be criticized on our due process. I think it's really quite remarkable. Thank you for that. I suppose we approve the report. can I take this opportunity to repair a, I forgot to mention a corporate governance point in my report, and it's our own oversight, if I may say so. We had a discussion at the level of the board on the way the board functioned, and it appeared to us that we needed to have a an evaluation process, which we conducted at the end of last year, and we discussed the outcome of this evaluation process in the executive session. It appears that globally members consider that this board is functioning well, but we identified a few items where we could do better, and we will obviously implement them. So for the sake of the information of this session, I wanted to mention this as a good corporate governance practice that has been implemented by this board.
So I have just a few items that we were able to work in to the rest of the meeting. One about the process of putting the due process into action. The first is that we reviewed the process for sign-off on educational materials by the technical staff in the ISB. The committee supported this the fact that although educational materials are not authoritative, they receive appropriate reviews from the IFRS and ISB members. We received a full technical update from Sue Lloyd on the current project work stream, much of which you heard about recently, but we were looking at it from a due process standpoint. We focused a lot of our attention on gaining comfort that the major projects nearing publication have been through the proper due process steps, as outlined by the handbook. And the committee was particularly focused on the impairment standard, which is close to publication, as Hans mentioned, of a new exposure draft. This was due to the importance and sensitivity of this project that I don't need to amplify on. I'd like to note, and several committee members wanted to make sure that I briefed the trustees about this, that the DPOC will be asked to conduct similar reviews on an ongoing basis to approve the due process steps, some of which may not coincide with the full trustee group. So we'll, for the exposure drafts that are likely to come up before our next meeting, the DPOC will meet with Sue and Alan and go over to make sure that we've done the proper steps, but I won't have the chance to review with you until after the fact. We spent some time reviewing a mock-up of the website improvement regarding DPOC and the project pages. They're terrific. And I think it will make a big improvement in making the navigation of the website easier. Importantly, we approved the ISB chairman's recommendation of Daryl Scott to chair the SME implementation group and approved some changes to the terms of reference and operating procedures of this group to allow for an expansion in membership and staggered boards that will be easier to replace people over time. But finally, I can report that the DPOC received no correspondence last meeting in Brussels, and we remain open to any correspondence that we get in the future, but we had none to report this time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Scott. I wonder whether the fact that you do not have correspondence is evidence that the due process is perfect. We'll see. I think we had a few at the last meetings, but this time we have no correspondence. If at the next meetings we don't have any correspondence, that will be evidence that you've been successful. Okay, do you have any questions or comments on due process committee items?
Yes, Ian.
I'd just like to endorse Scott's comments on the fantastic job that David Diswell did while he was chair, and I'm very pleased to see Scott proceeding in the same manner. I think the Due Process Oversight Committee is doing a very comprehensive and proper job, but it's doing it in a very constructive manner, and it's greatly appreciated by us.
Point taken. Pedro?
I'm not a member of the DPOC, so I feel free to say exactly the same thing here. I think The committee has done a remarkable job under the chairmanship of David Stilwell, working together with David and the ISB staff. It would be very hard, I thought, to succeed David Stilwell, but I think Scott Evans has shown with his presentation of his work over the last several months that he's very much up to the challenge and to the task, and we're very happy about it. We surely approve.
No other comments on this item? Well, we are a bit ahead of schedule, but it gives room for a presentation of the Korean experience